Welcome to another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. I'm your host, Mia Chantel. And this week, I have the privilege of interviewing photographer and creative director, Mecca Gamble McConnell, which this has been, for me, just an exciting moment. I have followed Mecca online for years. I remember when I first discovered her on Instagram, I said, oh my God, I want to be able to grow in a way that I can work with her one day. She has always inspired me through her posts and just her transparency online. And for those who don't know her, you may have seen her work featured in Essence. You may have seen it featured in The Knot, other publications. She has hosted group coaching programs through Picture Yourself Profitable. She has her photography workshop, which is Porter Street, which when she posts those recaps, oh my gosh, it's so inspiring to see how she's able to pour into other photographers in the community. And now she is focusing her attention on Indigo Creative Agency, which I would define as an innovative take on planning and executing visual campaigns. But of course, you know, now that we have Mecca here, we can hear from her a little bit about that. So just here to introduce Mecca Gamble McConnell.
Thank you so much for that introduction. It's, you know, when I'm introduced, it is humbling to hear back the things that I have put out into this world. And it is always such a beautiful reminder of my value in this world. Because, you know, sometimes we tend to forget and we need that reminder. So I really appreciate you pouring into me that way to get started and having me on the podcast today. You know, I'm ready to share. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to share whatever story, you know, needs to be led in this space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So of course, the first question I want to jump into, which in just doing research and then also following you for so long, understanding that you used to do wedding photography and then you kind of did a pivot into more of like the business lifestyle photography, but you've always had your hand in some type of like media and that creation around just those different channels. So how did you decide, you know, coming out of college and then going into photography, how did you decide that photography was that entryway into media starting out?
For me, I discovered journalism when I was 15 or 16 years old. A friend's mom worked in journalism and she encouraged me to apply to a campaign, or to a program that was specifically designed for young Black kids interested in media and in journalism. And so that's where I got my foot in the door. And then in college, I majored in journalism and advertising. And I graduated at a time during the recession and I couldn't get a job. And one day I woke up, I was like, okay, I'm going to start a photography business. And it took off from there. Like I was doing blogging, and my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband, he had bought me a camera for Christmas one year so I could blog and do YouTube. So that's where I kind of got my first camera. I was just playing around taking pictures of my dog, of my family, of friends. And then before I knew it, people were asking to pay me to take pictures. And around the time, you know, Instagram had come out. And so people were able to discover the work and the projects that I was producing. So it was a beautiful marriage. It just made sense that I had this background in television journalism and in advertising. And then I also took pictures too. I then met a wedding planner who really took me under her wing and put me on a lot of wedding projects. And then when I moved to Atlanta from Pittsburgh, I used social media as a means to get my work out there and connect with other wedding planners, other creatives. And that's where, you know, it was just a time where so many of us were just discoverable online. And I just stayed consistent with it until one day I was just like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. But, you know, I really want to hone in on the branding, the advertising, and the marketing side of the business. And subsequently, it just really, it was the right timing. I tell people it was right timing. The pandemic, people were operating online businesses now more than ever. Everyone pretty much lived online in 2020 and 2021. And so God just allowed me to set up my business, and I was just obedient in a way where I left wedding photography at the right time and then stepped into the world of branding and marketing. So that's, in essence, the gist of it. There's been, other things that I've discovered about myself and my work and my art in between that, but it was divine timing.
I love how you say divine timing. I feel like what I've noticed just from what you put out into the world, you're always just very intentional about, the message behind it and how you were led to that. That was you were given this call from God, and He's able to kind of plant those seeds, and then you're able to then move obediently as you need to. So with that, what do you feel like was, I guess, a difference, or did you notice anything as you were making this change over from wedding photography to just like creative branding photography? Did you notice a change in the type of clientele, and how are you able to then, continue to build? Because I feel like the wedding industry is very specific, it's very unique. And then branding is also its own thing, but you have an eye to where you are able to seamlessly transition. So how are you able to do that without necessarily finding yourself stuck or finding yourself in a place where you had to rebuild, or did it feel like you had to rebuild?
A little bit of both. When I started getting the nudge that wedding photography was no longer for me, I came to the realization that what I loved most about wedding photography was that I got to shoot Black women. My favorite part of the wedding day was seeing Black women in their dress, in their moment, being able to create those legacy portraits of her, awaiting to get married. This is a day that she's dreamed of her whole life, and creating those beautiful portraits. And I said, you know what? I could do that same thing with Black women in business as well. And so many people understand and know that the wedding business is a relationship business. All service-based businesses are relationship businesses. I'm in the business of people. I'm in the business of relationship. And so I was able to really engage with the relationships I had already built throughout the wedding industry, and say, when I was doing this new thing, I'm tapping on the people that, I'm already working with. Maybe a bride, she owns a business, or has a side hustle. But honestly, I was like, even while I was a wedding photographer, I was shooting influencers, I was doing other things, but I called it business lifestyle. Like, I didn't really understand online personal branding yet. It truly just wasn't a thing. It wasn't a buzzword just yet, but I called it business lifestyle. So we would take portraits, and people had blogs, and influencing content creation started to become a thing. And so while I was also shooting weddings, I was unintentionally carving a lane in that world too. And so whenever I was ready to transition from or transition out of weddings, I really refocused my energy and effort into this professional, this business lane, which eventually became known as personal branding photography.
Okay. And so as you made that transition, and now like looking at this new phase of business for Indigo Creative Agency, what tools did you use to kind of help plan that strategy? Like, there is a whole business aspect of photography that I think I sometimes, in working with other photographers and just people that I know that are creative, sometimes you can feel scattered, you can feel all over the place. How are you able to stay the course and kind of keep yourself organized in a world that's every day is different?
Yeah, that's a great question. But immediately I think about the mantra, nothing is wasted. So growing up, I always served in some way. I started serving in church. My first jobs were summer camp counseling. I, worked at Foot Locker. I worked at retail stores. I worked at Baker's. I'm dating myself.
I love Baker. I miss it.
I did customer service on the telephone. And then after in college, when I finally got a full-time position, I worked at the front desk. I was in administration. When I moved to Atlanta, I was an office manager. And then I started dabbling in project management. And so none of those things are wasted. So serving my team, serving the office, scooping ice cream, serving customers, talking on the phone, learning how to manage situations and provide information. In those moments, it was so frustrating to me because I'm like, God, why do you have me here? I do not want to be here. I'm a creative, I'm an artist, I have so much other potential,
Right.
but in retrospect, I'm looking back and God's the whole time is like, I'm developing you. You know what I mean? When I worked at an ad agency, I'm sitting in those rooms and I'm watching the creative work without being able to touch it because God has me listening because this whole time I'm gonna have my own agency one day, So nothing is wasted. Everything that I have done. I was a nail tech at one point. I've lived a couple of different lives,
Yes.
but I have been able to translate all of those skills and all of those other jobs into, a professional, creative, service-based business. And people are like, you're so professional. How are you able to do like that? Is my skills from all of the other, jobs and things that
Yeah.
I have being used now. And so I'm grateful that I had all of those experiences, no matter how frustrating they were in the moment, because God was using me so that I could now manage and direct and lead and create in this new agency venture.
Definitely. Now, is there anything that you wish you knew starting out, or that you wish somebody would have told you, not necessarily to make the journey easier, but to have that awareness to kind of eliminate some of the growing pains that come with having your own business?
The first thing that comes to mind is that the work that we're actually doing day to day, the task, the work is actually personal. When you are an entrepreneur, a lot of your personal stuff shows up in your business. And the way that you handle things is a lot of like your personal hurdles that you have yet to overcome. I wish that I would have known earlier that personal development is just as important as professional development. So, things like being in community, being healed and developed in community, being loved in community, therapy. I know therapy is more so of a quote unquote new healing modality. Even though it's been around for such a long time, we're more open to talking about it and discussing our experiences with it. Like, I wish that 10, 15 years ago, this was something that was more, I don't want to say normalized, but more so accepted. We need spaces where we can just completely unravel so that we can be developed again or healed again. We talk a lot about reading professional development books. There's a book out there about everything, but the personal development is just as important. Like, I am, after 12 years of being an entrepreneur, I'm just now learning to have to rest and how important rest is, how important sleep is, how important moving my body is, stretching is, how important meditation and prayer is to me specifically. I wish I would have discovered those mo modalities earlier because it's hard to serve other people and if I don't serve myself first.
Absolutely. And with you mentioning, meditation and movement, how does a typical day for Mecca look when, as a photographer, I mean, you're moving, you're doing a lot, but how are you incorporating that for yourself outside of work into your everyday lifestyle?
That's a great question. So I actually have a back injury. So I had a skating accident when I was maybe 12 or 13, but it showed up in my life during the time when I was shooting weddings. So like I'll be carrying all this heavy equipment on my back. And I don't know if you ever picked up a camera with a lens. They're pretty heavy. And then you're
Very.
carrying one or two of them at a time. And you're just not even thinking about all the stuff that you're carrying around and shoving into cars and lifting up. And so I furthered that injury. And now I am in recovery where I am doing chiropractic care, massage care. I stretch a lot. I do yoga. Like, but daily for me, that looks like waking up in the morning. I do prayer. I do breath work. I do meditation. I do journaling. I stretch. That's really, really important. I do my walks. I try to do daily walks. I have to work out. I have to move my body. It not only like I think people think of movement and then we automatically equate that to weight loss. It's more than weight loss. Sometimes it's just removing all the negative energy from your body and giving your muscles the opportunity to get some oxygen, giving your brain the opportunity to get some oxygen, you know, the opportunity to just, you know, release. You know, we have so much like the what's the book called? The Body Keeps Score. So much energy is just and trauma is just pent up and stored in our body sometimes. Like we just need to just sometimes get out and dance it out. You know, we don't dance as much as we used to. We have to move our bodies and you will feel a significant difference if you're just intentional about, you know what, let me just take 10 minutes to stretch today. Let me go for a 15-minute walk. Let me get some sunshine on my face. Let me just stop and take a deep breath. You know?
Now,
So
would
it
you?
movement's important.
It is. It is. I, as someone who is always, you know, recovering from plantar fasciitis, you know, working in food service and everything else, I get it. And I'm like, I'm in my early 30s, and like, you know what? This is something that you take for granted in your youth, you know. And as you get older, you know, you appreciate things more for what the experiences are. But then also, it's like, man, like, I wish I would have ran more. You know, you kind of have that playback in your head. And as you were saying that, it kind of reminded me of, I have like the Solange song, you know, I try to drink it away, I try to smoke it away, you know, and she's talking about all these things. And I'm always like, well, girl, what did you do? How did you get beyond it? And so just in our discussion right now, like 2020, well, of course, was an impactful year for everyone. And then you also had a personal loss in 2021. How are you able to move beyond that trauma that does still sit within you? Like, what are you able to do to get out of that headspace and still be creative? Because that can create a blockage. And I think that's where people, they don't know how to move beyond the blockage once it's there.
So my father died unexpectedly in 2021, and it's interesting because I felt like I was at the height of my career. Everything I'd prayed for, everything I worked towards, all the things that were goals on my vision board for so long, it was all happening. And then I lost my father, and life literally stopped. It stopped. And then once, you know, the arrangements were finished and I got some time to spend with my family so we can start transitioning to this new life, instead of being still and grieving, I went back to work times 10. And so it got to the point where my mental health caught up with me at the end of the year, and I was just like, shut it all down. Because I wasn't happy. I didn't feel like myself. I felt like literally a robot who reached their goals, but you know, still just wanted more and more, but really didn't desire the more,
There was
but
nothing
just
behind it.
that was it, you know? And so I had to settle down and, you know, God will sit you down. I got COVID, you know, after dodging COVID for almost 2 years. I got hit with COVID. I missed my best friend's wedding. I missed a vacation that I had been planning. And I was just like, all right, God, I surrender.
I hear you,
Like,
yes.
clearly, you know, you have been trying to get me to a place where I can hear your voice. And I call it, I've been calling it recovery. Like, I have been recovering probably for the last 3 years. I started learning how to set better boundaries. I started learning how to feed myself better and like what foods were that my body wanted to digest. I started going for daily walks just to kind of get some of that grief away from my body and get some sunshine on my face. I started searching and seeking for my tribe and my community. Started traveling a little bit more and intentionally wanting to heal my relationships with my family. Got into therapy, like trauma therapy. I believe EDMR saved my life. I learned how to be compassionate with myself and gracious with myself, and learn how to rebuild my own confidence and my own self-esteem. You know, I just started asking myself better questions. It went from, okay, what does everybody else want from you to what do you want out of your life? What do you want for yourself? What do you desire out of life? Because losing somebody, especially losing a parent, is sobering because you start to realize, like, wait a minute, I don't have as much time as I think I do. Like, my life really does have to be lived. Like, I'm in my golden years. Like, life is supposed to be golden right now. And so I started deciding and giving myself and allowing myself to want different things and go after them. And so it has truly just been it's been a journey. And I finally feel like, even just post-pandemic, I still can't believe, like, it's been 4 years since the pandemic. I feel like I am myself again, but I just feel like I am a renewed version. There's no way that I can be the person I used to be because that person had a dad. You know what I mean? Now that my father's gone, you know, I have to live my life in a different way. And don't get me wrong, like, grief is a spiral. Like, some days it is heavy, but I feel like I have the tools now to manage the grief. You know, it doesn't have to be an all-day thing, but if it does need to be an all-day thing, I give myself the grace to allow and the
To
compassion to allow
feel.
myself to feel it. Exactly.
Okay, so you mentioned your golden years, and I kind of look at life in like quarters, and I feel like we're in the first quarter of the rest of our life, you know, if you expect to live to 80 plus. So you're in that first quarter. What do you feel is the theme for this quarter of your life right now with all that you have experienced?
That's good. I feel so free. Freedom, exploration, rediscovery. Like, I question everything that I learned from that first quarter of my life. I lovingly question it and ask myself, is that for me? Is that what I believe for myself? Is that something that somebody else told me to want, or is that something I desire for myself? So yeah, I feel so free and alive right now, and I feel like I have permission and it is safe to explore life again.
Yeah, I love that. And then, of course, self-care, which you mentioned, you know, meditation, prayer, like taking that time for yourself, going on those walks. But I always ask people, what does that non-traditional self-care moment look like for you? Like, what's something that you do that people are kind of like, I don't know if that's self-care. And it's like, well, for me and mine, this is what I do, you know, whether it's concerts or roller skating, like that's something that a lot of people have picked up. Like, what is that non-traditional self-care moment for you?
Mine is being outside riding my bike. Like, I can't wait. My first ride of the year is going to be this weekend. I've been looking forward to it all week. Like, the weather is finally shifting and getting warm and the sun is out. But last year, I thought about how I bought a bike a couple years ago, but I thought about last year how much I loved riding my bike around my neighborhood when I was a kid. And I just reignited that love again last year. So, like, I'll ride with others. I'll go ride on trails by myself. I'll turn up my music. It is just like my thing where, you know, if I need to get out of my head, or if I just have some things to process, or if I just want to feel the sun on my face, or if I just want to spend some time by myself, I'll just go out and ride my bike. And then the second thing is hot baths. Oh my gosh, I love my bath time. I know it's like, okay, self-care. I love my bath time. Like, I'll listen to an audiobook, and I'll change the lights in my bathroom. I, like, install, like, the colorful
Set the
lights.
mood.
It's my mood. It's just my thing where I know that I can take an hour and I can just completely zone out. I leave my phone in the other room. So those are kind of like my two, my replenishing, what the ways I replenish myself. And then in the mornings, like I love slow mornings, slow, like giving myself enough time to just wake up and stir and move and do the things that I want to do. Like I said before, I serve other people. That's just my thing. And right now I'm also really enjoying healing and community. Like I'm meeting so many wonderful people like yourselves. I'm like really opening my heart to meeting new people and doing things with new people and kind of stretching myself out of my comfort zone. And I just found healing with other women in community is just something that I really, that's self-care to me. Just those deep belly laughs. Like I went to dinner with some friends this past weekend, and when I tell you I haven't laughed like that in so long, like to the point where your stomach hurts and you can't breathe, like that felt so healing to me. You know what I mean? So yeah, I love healing. I like to spend time with myself, but I also like to heal in with others.
And I'm glad you brought up community because throughout all of your work and all of your ventures, I feel like that is one of the things that's at the core of what you do is having that community
I
and
appreciate you
building on
saying
that.
that.
It's evident. And I think that's why you stand out, in a loud room because everyone's looking for community. Everyone, as much as they're looking to be different, they want to feel seen and feel,
Absolutely.
that
They want
they
to find
have
their
relation.
people.
Exactly, exactly. So for you, I mean, being a Pittsburgh native coming to Atlanta, what have you feel like has been some of the best ways to build a community outside of your business? Because of photography, that's the easy way. But outside of that, in a city like Atlanta, what does that look like? Or has it been easy?
Another great question. Yeah, so I have officially lived in Atlanta for 11 years this summer. At first, it was extremely hard. I'm not gonna lie. Like even up until recently, it has been extremely hard to find community outside of business. I have those business relationships. I have people I can network with and do business with and collaborate with. But more so recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, I found myself wanting deeper connection and deeper friendships. And so, I tried on a couple different communities and they weren't necessarily for me specifically. However, that's when I started praying about, like, okay, God, should I be building a community? Should I be, bringing people together? And that's when I discovered one of my spiritual gifts was the gift of connection. Like I have a gift of bringing people together. And so I'm learning in real time how to do that. And so I have a new community called Created for More that we're launching this summer. I did a soft launch a couple weeks ago by putting together just a last minute random party at my studio. And it really confirmed to me that white Mecca, like this is something that people really need. Like you needed this for yourself. But seeing all those people together and communing with one another, I was like, wait, other people really need this too. And I'm not talking about the surface level where we get together and we do panels and we just record content. I'm talking about like, no, I see you. Like, congratulations. What are you working on? How can I support you? Who can I connect you with? What can I pray for you about? That stuff is really important when building community because, I think we all kind of got bamboozled in the last few years of wanting to be a part of different things that we see and then kind of getting in them and realizing, this isn't really aligning with my values. And so I am being intentional about knowing and understanding, people's trauma, honestly, from different communities or different spaces that they've put themselves in. And I'm still praying about it, but I want to be intentional about really leading and building a place where it is safe to be yourself and a safe place to grow, a safe place to make mistakes, in a safe place to learn something new. I will always be about Black women. Like I love us. Like I mean that 10 toes down. But I also just want to create space where people feel very welcome and feel seen.
Yeah. And I definitely feel like you've been able to do that in a way that it transcends your work and it truly is something that is a part of you. And so with all of this work that you put out into the world and, you know, all the things that, you know, you may hope to be remembered for, when it comes to where you are right now and with what you're doing with Indigo, what do you see for the future of that as this creative arm that you have right now? Like what is the Indigo Creative Agency look like in a year or 3 years, or do you have something that far out, or is this more of something that you are living through to then see where it takes you?
Yes, I have a plan in my head, but God laughs at our plans. He
Exactly.
laughs real and be like, that's cute, but I have bigger for you. I have more for you.
Right.
I am going with the flow. It has already exceeded and expanded to be bigger than what I originally dreamt of. Originally, just from doing brand photography, I found myself hiring all the other vendors as part of the production. I found myself managing the projects and leading the team. And I'm like, at this point, I just need to start an agency. So I did. And so I taught myself how to do marketing plans. I taught myself how to put together and plan and direct campaigns. And so I am learning so much, and I hope to have. I know we will have different departments, different sectors. We'll have, more than contracts. We'll have a team eventually. But as of right now, I'm really going with the flow and allowing God to lead me. As far as short term, I definitely still really want to do, creative photography and really help develop coaches and consultants and service providers, help them develop their visual images online. Like I said, I also love leading teams. I don't always have to be the one shooting. I can project manage, I can creative direct, the campaign as well. And so I am at this moment, I think what I can tell you is that I'm tapping and using all of my gifts,
Yes.
right? I'm tapping into them. I'm using them, and I am just like, God, show me where you want me to go so that I can, serve others at the highest and best good.
Right. Now you're talking about this journey and what you desire. And I remember last year you launched your YouTube channel and you wanted to be in front of the camera. And so where does all of that fit into this? Are you going to document this journey, or are you taking a pause?
You
Because I
hold me
think I see
accountable.
you. That
You are
is,
holding me accountable,
I think a lot of
and I
us
appreciate that.
we sometimes, you know, getting in front of the camera is a lot. You know, aside from just the hair and makeup and all that, it is truly like being transparent and you being the focus. So where does that stand?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's something I think about literally every single day. Every single day. Like it's like, and if you check out my YouTube channel, I talk a little bit about how honestly, I got started with photography because I was blogging and doing YouTube. And so that's how my husband, purchased my first camera. So that was my original goal. And it's still something that is very present. And it's like I said, I think about it every single day. And so I appreciate the accountability, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because I'm like, okay, now I need to do this more than ever. So I've definitely been one of those people who have documented so much, and I have photos and I have videos and I have everything living on my computer, and I need to put them out in the world because it's keeping me up at night, to be completely honest with you. And just being the person that I am, I tend to overthink a little bit. And I'm like, do people really want this? Is this what they want to hear from me? And one of my what's it called? My love languages are words of affirmation. And so I appreciate you affirming me in this way, because now it's like making me realize, like, no, Mecca, this is something that people want to see from you. They do want to hear your stories. They do want to see what you're up to. And so you're lighting a fire under me. Like I said, I think about it every day. But I just like, I keep making up excuses. When you procrastinate, it's like, I don't have this. And I like, no, Mecca, you have everything that you
Everything.
need
Yes. to show up.
You have everything that you need, like
Yes.
stop. But first quarter was really busy for me
Yeah.
doing creative projects for clients. But now that I have some time to focus on myself, I definitely want to use my voice and get all that stuff that's been living in my notebooks and in my head out into the world. And not to worry about numbers and how many views, but
Right.
just knowing if that one person that it was meant for sees it and it heals them in some way. That's all I was called to do.
Absolutely. And I mean, of course, you'll tap into a new audience just because for the people that may feel like social media is not where they go anymore and everything feels like just repetitious and everyone's, copy paste. Let's all do the same thing. It's like YouTube is kind of where you can come, you can show up with your bonnet on or, in the middle of a walk, all windy, and it's just you're
Yep.
showing up as yourself authentically. And I feel like that is something that honestly everyone is looking for.
I agree. That short
So,
form content, it
yes.
just is getting a little bit, it doesn't feel good all the time.
Right, yeah.
And even myself, I use YouTube as a resource, like when I want to learn something new or I want to get more information about a product or something I'm discovering. I go right to YouTube and somebody is out there sharing their perspective on it, and so I can appreciate that that long form content. And I think Instagram and the short form content and the reels definitely still have a place. However, I think we're also going back to a world of photos. We
Yes.
love photographs again, so I am staying abreast of just all the different ways to market and use my voice and use my gift. It's like I was just telling my husband last night, like I got this print journalism degree. They can have it
Let's
back.
run
First of all, y'all can have it back. First and
back. We
foremost.
need it.
But while I have it, let me just go ahead on and use it.
Yes.
Y'all
Okay.
could take it back, but
Right. Listen, I'm right there with you. Okay, so with all that you do, is there a tool or is there a book? Like a tool that has been helpful for you, or a book that has inspired you recently, or a song that kind of like that earworm that plays in your head to keep going for you. Like, what is something that has inspired you lately, or that has given you just a new perspective on where you are to keep going?
Good question. My favorite app right now that I use literally daily is Insight Timer. There's so many different meditations, there's prayers, there's breath work. There is sound frequencies, there's healing music on it. No matter what you believe, what you're looking for, however you're feeling, you can search it. And there are teachers and practitioners on there who have already created something for you. So that app in particular has changed my life dramatically. It's something that I use literally every single day. As far as books, to be completely honest with you, I'm an avid reader. I read a
Yes.
lot, but I have recently switched over to more fictional books
Oh, okay.
and just like fun things
Escaped.
to, yeah. And you
Yeah.
know what? It has heightened my imagination. It has heightened my creativity, just to kind of see how different people's minds work when they're telling these stories that aren't
Yeah.
necessarily true. But I have really enjoyed that form of reading lately, just because, like I said, we can read professional development books until, we are blue in the face. But
Right.
I found reading fiction a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What was the third question? You asked me about
A song or a
a
show.
song or show. I recently just watched Insecure again.
Oh, so did I.
And it's a different experience watching it
Every
all the
time.
way through, without like the season gaps
Yep.
or the weekly gaps. It is a completely different experience. I watched it back and I found things that I missed in the storyline that I
Yep.
and I'm probably gonna watch it again one more time. But then I also finished it in this weekend feeling really inspired by like Issa's journey and seeing a lot more of myself in that journey. Because it was like, wait a minute, yeah, we was all a mess. 20s on nobody, but we were all trying to figure out how to just be okay. We were figuring out, and just seeing Issa and Molly's transition, there was just so many things about friendship, loss, dating and relationships, communication. Just there was just so many themes, and I'm so grateful for that body of work. I feel like that body of work is gonna be our like Martin or In Living Single, In Living Color, Living Single, like all those greats. I think that show is gonna stand the test of time.
I agree, especially since I think for, a lot of people, even those that didn't watch it tells us a story of the Black experience that is unique, but then the same for all of us. Like, and I think the more we're able to see ourselves reflected through media and through work, like it helps us to grow because it's like, okay, if I see myself in that and I know I was Molly in this situation, it's like, well, damn, let me check myself, or it gives you those points of reflection, or even just looking back and, you might have been on Issa's side or then you were on Lawrence's side. It's like those perspectives are needed. And I think that, right now TV and the media can be skewed one way. And so having those like fictional characters told with like very like well thought out storylines for each of them. It's not just this surface level, two Black girls are friends, da, 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 da. It gave depth to the Black, at least for me, the Black female experience, because you see different races and nationalities depicted, but as a Black woman in America, in this, city in Inglewood, like this is the experience. And I feel like that was very important to show. So, I
The
rewatched it.
relationships, yeah, the relationships really, because I remember how big of a deal it was, like, are you team Issa, are you team Lawrence? But then like rewatching, and I'm like, I don't know. You wasn't, you could have spoke up earlier and said, or it's like, so I can see I was able, like I was such a hard team Issa, but now I see I have the perspective, and I have the experience now where I can look at both sides and I'm like, I can see both sides and y'all both were wrong and y'all could have had a conversation and but neither here nor there. Then she had the relationship with Daniel and then the later on relationship, it's just with Nathan, it's just there's so many nuances, like you said, where it gives you the opportunity to reflect on yourself. And I think, like, yes, I've seen myself on television before, but something about this particular series, I really saw myself in this day and age. She really did. She did her big one. She made an incredible body of work. I mean, it was funny, but it was like serious and all the things that we are as Black women, we saw on the screen.
And it didn't feel outrageous. It was like, oh, what a
No.
concept. It's like, no, this is
Right.
all of these characters could be me at one point in my life.
Was honest.
Yeah, it was honest. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to wrap things up. I try to keep these just short and sweet for people to kind of take what they need as they listen. And before I wrap up, one question that I ask everybody that comes on is, if you could give a piece of advice to young Mecca or someone that is kind of early on in their journey trying to figure it out, or if there's a mantra that you live by, what does that look like? What would you say to baby Mecca or the little girl that you are living these dreams out for?
What would I say to myself? I would tell my younger self that you are so valuable. You are so seen. You are so loved. People want to hear you speak. People want what you have. And to stay focused on what you want out of your life.
And that's a lot, that worthiness, that value. I think speaking that over yourself and speaking that over others, it goes a long way now more than ever. People really, I don't think, are able to have the privilege. You mentioned the privilege of rest earlier, like those moments to reflect with themselves. And so my hope is that people take this and they're able to, give back to themselves in a way and pour that into themselves in a way that gives them that motivation to keep going and to not stop.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome. I'm about to have therapy after this, but I felt like this was a therapy session all on its own. So I appreciate this time and I appreciate this space. You know, like I said, like just sharing with each other, having these conversations are incredibly healing. You know, it makes me feel so seen, and it feels very affirmed. So thank you for choosing me to share with your audience and be a part of your podcast. It really does mean a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you. But thank you for agreeing.
Yes.
it's been years in the making. I was like, I think I emailed you like 2016, like, hey,
Oh
I'm not sure how much
wow.
this is, but
Oh wow.
I would love
Full
to work
circle
with you.
moment. Yeah, full
And I'm like,
circle.
I was like, I don't know what the future looks like, but I said, I'm gonna work with her. I have to get in front of this woman. Like you have just so much to you that's just worth sharing. And so I'm just happy that we were able to share this space, even for a brief moment.
Absolutely.
So where can everyone find you or connect with you? Even if it's for the creative director or if it's just to find out what's next for Mecca.
Yeah. Everywhere at Mecca Gamble, MECCAGAMBLE. And then my agency is called Indigo Creative and Consulting, and that is everywhere at Create with Indigo.
That concludes another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, as well as following us on Instagram at Since Y'all Don't Read. Bye.